Yo, this is P-Town's finest, representing the NEP, D. Stoudemire, and y'all know what we're talking about.
No one's ready to deal with us.
This is the hardcore phase of stuff, yo.
Hi, this is Damian Lillard, and when I'm not on the court or in the studio, I'm listening to the Rip City Report with Casey Hodaw and Joe Freeman.
Yes, y'all.
Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to another edition of the Rip City Report. I'm Joe Freeman, the Oregonian. He's Casey Holdall of Trailblazers.com. Hi, Joe.
Hello, Rip City. Hello, everybody. Hello, folks listening to the podcast who might not even be Blazer fans, who just like the sound of Joe's voice or the sound of me spitting into the microphone. I don't know.
Did I see something where some radio waves came at us from somewhere in space? Did I see a headline about that?
That happens all the time, actually, Joe. Okay. There are radio waves basically traveling throughout the universe, and there are programs set up that I think NASA runs to try to get those radio waves in case some other
trying to communicate with us. Yeah.
Exactly, civilization is trying to communicate, and we do the same. My understanding is that we send out one, and we're like, hey. Hmm. We're decent people. If you exist and you're getting this,
don't attack us.
Hit us up.
Well, I bring that up because, you know, maybe potentially we're being beamed, you and I, out into the nether regions of the universe. And so maybe people are listening to us on who knows where, and only anybody knows where.
Sure. I mean, this podcast goes so many places in terms of the RSS that, I mean, yeah, it could end up anywhere.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear it playing over Muzak in an elevator sometime, or maybe at a fast food restaurant.
That would be weird.
Yeah.
That'd be funny. That would be to step in an elevator and hear that would be odd, to hear my voice.
It's a little bit different, but I always find it odd since they pump in, I think, Wheels' call into the bathrooms at the Moda Center. Mm. So, like, you're going and it's like, and they're calling the action, which, you know, is great because you don't want to miss what's going on. But on the other hand, too, it's like, Brian Wheeler talking while you're using the bathroom is
something
that's
seems
a little weird.
The for some reason, this makes me remember of last year. My sister-in-law, she lives in Brooklyn, and she texted me. She was on the subway, and she was like, "So I'm sitting next to some dude who's listening to the Rip City Report right now."
Hey,
and I thought that was
wow.
Yeah,
I don't know if you told me that before. That's great.
And I was like, "Well, tell him I said what's up." And she's like, "Nah, I don't think he'd be too pleased with me creeping on his phone, you know, sitting next to him." I'm like, "Yeah, but you guys are tight quarters. It's probably no big deal."
Is this your sister-in-law?
My sister-in-law. Yeah,
I bet he wouldn't have minded.
Yeah, he probably would have liked it. Yeah. So it is, what is today? January 8th, Thursday?
Yeah.
Congratulations. We made it to a new year. I guess we've done
it's
a podcast
January
since a new year.
10th, by the way, Joe. Well,
let's try this again. It's January 10th on Thursday. Shows you where I'm at.
That's good.
Little after 11 a.m., we're going to bring you some red hot Blazers action, or at least some Blazers action.
Yeah, what's the middle, like what's before the red hot? Like, because like white hot's
simmering?
Even hotter than red.
Simmering?
No, but I want to know the color.
Oh.
Like,
oh, the hot scale?
Orange hot? Is orange orange cooler than red?
I would say, I don't know.
Some pink hot?
Yeah, let's go pink hot.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't even really know that it's going to be pink hot.
Probably not. I just don't want to say lukewarm.
Lukewarm.
You know, or
it's definitely going to be hot.
Yeah.
It'll be
so is it a sizzle, you think? Like,
let's do sizzling.
Okay.
It'll be some sizzling,
sizzling.
Blazers
That's
talk.
Good. That's right in the middle. Yeah.
Let's go with sizzling. Of course, as always, he's Casey Holdall. You can follow him on Twitter at Seahold, and you can read his content at blazers.com/forwardcentered. You can follow me on Twitter at Blazer Freeman and read mine and my colleagues' stuff at OregonLive.com/Blazers. And if you subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, which we encourage you to do, or whatever podcast subscriber you choose to, give us a 5-star review. I don't know why, but it's supposedly good for us and good for the world. And we are a 5-star rated podcast, so thank you for that.
Excellent.
We wanted to talk about, I don't even know what we're going to talk about today. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. You got some notes there, Joe.
There's some notes in here. Yeah. We got some news and notes.
It's a bit of a downtime for the Blazers.
Yeah.
The schedule-wise, at least.
Yeah, maybe we should talk about that
first.
You want to do news and notes first?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's get to the news and notes. Blazers beat the Chicago Bulls Wednesday night, 124-112 at the Moda Center. It was the Blazers' fifth win in the last 6 games and 10th in the last 14. C.J. McCollum scored 24 points on 10 for 14 shooting, kind of breaking out of a... Well, he's kind of off and on that slump and breaking out and not breaking out, and then he's just back in the slump, so it's a long one for him. But 10 for 14 nonetheless. Damian Lillard had 16 points and 10 assists, and the Blazers bench scored 56 points, one of their best outputs of the season. Speaking of that Blazers bench, it's been a bit better for them lately. Seth Curry finished with 17 points of 7 of 11 shooting, and he's now reached double figures in scoring in 5 of the last 10 games. And Zach Collins added 16 points, 9 rebounds, and 4 assists in what was his best game in some time. Also had one of the more incredible memes afterwards that you've seen, or just small video clips, I guess, of one teammate trying to encourage him to do his breathing exercises while another one massages his back. It was a pretty fitting little scene for one emotional and often angry Zach Collins. Yeah.
Zach had a little bit of a Frankenstein look to him as well because, you know, he's got that dark hair. It was kind of in his face, like, you know, like you could see like the veins in his forehead kind of popping out.
Long neck.
Yeah, that's just kind of, that's Zach too. He's kind of a lunatic.
Yeah, he's a little nuts. More news and notes. Mo Harkless did not play in that game against the, who'd they play? The Bulls. Mm-hmm. He's missed the last 6 quarters with left knee soreness. It's unclear when he'll return, and the Blazers refuse to detail how they are approaching his latest issue with his knee. On another note, the second batch of NBA All-Star voting ballots have come in. In fact, they came in just moments ago, and your point guard Damian Lillard was 6th among Western Conference guards. He tallied just over 610,000 votes. He trails Stephen Curry, Derrick Rose, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and is slightly ahead, and Klay Thompson, and is slightly ahead of DeMar Rosen in that list of Western Conference guards. Voting for the annual NBA Showcase concludes January 21st, and speaking of voting, if you are so inclined to do so, you can vote by visiting NBA.com and the Google machine anytime between now and January 21st. Last news and note.
Well, real quick here, I should let you guys know that Joe Freeman is a media voter, and as some of you may or may not be aware of, for the past couple seasons now, the starters are dictated by a combination of 50% fan vote, 25% player vote, 25% media vote. So our own Joe Freeman here will be casting his ballot as well before January 21st.
I think they're due on the 21st, yeah.
So, as a voter, what do you think about the, particularly the West Guard voting? What do you think? Do you vote for Derrick Rose?
I have literally put zero effort into researching and determining how my ballots will unfold. I can tell you that I will not be voting for Derrick Rose.
Okay.
That much, I don't even need to do any research. Looking at this list of guards, that's a tough slate of players.
There's a lot of real, and it's, you know, that's the way it is, particularly in the West every single year. There's a ton of deserving people. I don't. You know, fan votes always going to be difficult for a place like Portland. But I think the fans are doing a great job. 610,000 votes is pretty good. I think he had 200,000 votes at this time last week. So, you know, doubling the amount of votes in 1 week. And, you know, who knows what the NBA is doing in terms of the vote tallies. But long story short, I think you guys are doing a fantastic job. And Joe is going to be voting with you.
Did you see the TNT clip of it was pretty funny of Barkley saying that fans shouldn't vote in the All-Star game or for the All-Star game?
I think I might have seen a half-second clip of it, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. I won't go into greater detail because I don't want to insult any of our
I think fan voting is perfectly fine. It's and especially now that it's mixed and it's just for the starters, and since they're combining the teams now anyways, it's like, you know, I still think the people who deserve to get in are for the most part getting in.
Yeah, I'm of two thoughts on this. A, it's an exhibition showcase for the fans.
Yeah.
They can vote for whomever they want to see play in the game. However, when you have a gazillion people in China stuffing the ballot box for undeserving players, which at least used to be the case, that is where it starts to get a little annoying to me. But to be honest with you, you know how I feel about the All-Star game, so I couldn't care less. I will say, though, that for the players who have, some substantial bonuses oftentimes tied to this, that's where it gets a little nuts and there's a bit of a gray area. And in fact, I would venture to say that is a healthy dose of why the NBA has included multi-tiered balloting for something like this to give it more credibility. Yeah. So that is a little harder to stuff the ballots.
Yeah, I've always been a bit uncomfortable with the notion of contract spiffs tied to All-Star stuff. And, I mean, granted that it's also, that's not necessarily just the fan vote portion of it. I mean, and again, like, I can't really remember, it's been some time now since there has been a guy who made the All-Star game where you're like, that guy, he doesn't deserve it. And that's really more what it is. Like, if there's enough talent in the NBA to fill out two teams of 12 guys with really quality players, which there are, you know, it's all good.
Hey, I got a quick trivia question for you.
Yeah.
Name the last Portland Trailblazer to start in an NBA All-Star game.
Ooh. Kevin Duckworth? I wanted to pick something kind of, because I know he's had a couple, but
yeah
go ahead.
It was LaMarcus Aldridge. He was a replacement. Okay. So this came up, I bring it up because it came up at dinner last night at our pregame meal. Mike Richmond and Jason Quick and I were talking about it, and Sean Mager as well. And Richmond was at the All-Star. I asked him, hey, did you ever end up covering any All-Star games for us? He says, yeah, it went to one. It was in New York. It was the Brooklyn game.
Okay, I didn't go to that one, which is why maybe I do not remember it.
So it was like, you know, somebody got hurt, and then somebody else got hurt, and so L.A. was your All-Star game.
I think it was
Blake
Griffin, I think, who, if memory serves.
Well, no,
did Damian get the... Did Damian get a Blake Griffin injury?
Yes,
replacement. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. So LA got the start in that one.
Yeah, according to Mike Richmond.
All right,
I assume he was there. I assume he remembers it correctly.
Yeah, I would not doubt Mike for a minute.
Anyway, nice little trivia question there, huh?
Yeah, that is nice, Joe.
Okay, last news and note: the Blazers host your favorite ex-Blazer, Nicholas Batum, and the Charlotte Hornets on Friday night at 7 p.m. It's the last game of a 5-game homestand. Speaking of it being January 10th, apparently, happy birthday to my good friend Dave Charbonneau,
hey,
who definitely is not listening to this podcast, but maybe a word will get back to him that said happy birthday. I've already texted him happy birthday, of course, but here's another way. And happy belated birthday to one Mike Richmond, whose birthday was last week. And happy early birthday to Jason Quick, whose birthday is coming up this weekend. And to my other good friend Dave Kanzler, whose birthday is Saturday. So lots of birthdays,
yeah,
at or around this time. Happy birthday to all.
So if you were born in January, that means you were conceived in
March, February or March,
April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. Yeah, so March,
March or April.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know. I guess.
I mean, there's probably nothing to it. It's probably just a
People are born all the time.
Yeah, they are every day.
Yeah. Every day. Oh, this is going to be a good one.
Yeah,
all right. Before we get too deep, we did want to, I just cannot help but give a Yusuf Nurkic bet update. So I'll get into that.
Yeah.
We'll get into some topics probably. And we've got a ton. That's the good news. We've got a ton of Walter Odens and a ton of questions that you guys submitted last night and this morning. Before I do, though, as always, got to tell you about our good friends at Tough Luck. You can watch every Blazers game at Tough Luck. It's our favorite neighborhood bar on Northeast Deakin. From tip-off to the final whistle, you can enjoy the not-so-new-anymore Rip City Red Hot Sandwich and any microbrew on draft for $10. As you guys all well know, it's the biggest, best deal in the city surrounding a Blazers game. Rip City Red Hot Sandwich and a microbrew, $10. What a steal. You guys know all about the Rip City Red Hot Sandwich. I'm not even going to tell you about it, but I will remind for our vegetarian listeners, you can sub in that house-made veggie burger for that chicken sandwich if you're so inclined to do so.
I saw we had someone complain. I think maybe, I can't remember now who exactly it was. I think I remember, but I don't want to say the wrong name. Someone had said that their Rip City Red Hot Sandwich, which is served cold, was actually served to them hot.
Oh.
And they wanted to know what recourse they had. And I was like, I don't know.
Well, you could go up to your server and ask about said hot
or just,
cold
just
sandwich.
leave it on the table for 15, 20 minutes and then go at it.
Cool down? That's not a bad idea.
Yeah. I don't know if you, with chicken, I don't know if like there has to.
I think once it cooks, probably
fine. I think the room temperature part is actually where it gets dangerous. So if it was cool, you're fine. But if you left it at room temperature for an extended period of time, I mean, not the amount of time that you would spend at a bar because that's, the amount of time a regular person would spend at the bar would not be enough to probably give you salmonella, but...
You're thinking, you leave it out all day.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't do that.
And that's after you cook it, that still occurs? And then it cools back down?
I think maybe. I mean, the bacteria... Well, you know, I'm not entirely sure about that, but I don't think you can just cook a piece of chicken and just leave it, you know? Like, it gets refrigerated for a reason.
Either way, sandwich is delicious at Tough Luck. Highly recommend you...
Check it out.
And if you do go, say hi to your bartender or server, tell them why you're there, and take a picture of your sandwich and tweet at us.
It brings a smile to my face. Photos.
Yeah.
I do,
Quick Yusuf Nurkic bet update. By the way, one of the reasons I want to bring this up is because... Casey got, I mean, he attempted a three last night.
I know.
And it was incredible. Every time something happens, you have to appreciate how our media seating is set up at the Moda Center. It's a three-tiered kind of seating system. Casey sits down on the front row, just more or less on the same plane as I, and I'm one level up. And so, you know, as you can imagine, there's a lot of banter that goes on back and forth. And so obviously anytime Yusuf Nurkic, either it looks like he's going to attempt one, or he does attempt one, or he takes a long two, there's some type of reaction. When I saw it all unfold last night, I shouted no, as in, no, don't chip. And then Casey threw up his arms, yes! No! And then when it missed, I went, yes! And then Casey, this is weird because I'm not supposed to be cheering from press row, obviously, as a member of the media, but good God, this is a boring slate of games we're in. So I've got to do something to keep myself entertained. Yeah. Plus, I'm looking out for myself and what is now going to become my wife, and we're going to get a delicious meal out of all this. So
you're cheering for yourself in that situation, Joe. Which is perfectly fine. You are allowed to have emotional responses on press row. You're just not supposed to root
actively
for the team
root
press
for
row.
The team. Sure.
Of course, you can anti-root for the team on press row, which it seems to happen all the time. Hmm. There's plenty of complaining about the team on press row, which I would consider the opposite of rooting for the team. So,
yeah. You know what I think goes into that is, and you as a common complainer can relate to this.
Oh, 100%.
When you have to watch something so often and you see all the warts and all the stuff exposed, it's like, good.
It starts to pile up. Yeah, it's understandable. I'm just saying, that's always struck me as odd, where it's like, you can't be happy for the team, but you can sure be like, these guys suck. Like, that's fine.
So, Yusuf Nurkic three-point update. After his illustrious three-point attempt last night versus the Bulls, he's 3-for-24 this season. I'm not even going to give an update on what that pins out. He's just, let's just say he's well off the 1.5 per game pace that the best rests on. Now, I guess I wonder, Casey, should I make the reservation now? Or
I don't see why not. I think at this point it's fairly obvious which direction it's going. While obviously not mathematically eliminated, because in theory Yusuf could spend game 82 shooting nothing but three pointers and probably not doing it all that well. But it could happen.
Boy, that'd be amazing.
That would be something. I think at this point it is fair for you to at least start
contemplating
some baseline research into where you'd like to go.
Now, I have an idea for you that I think in the end would help me too. I say you pitch this to your bosses as a work expense.
Hey, that's actually not a bad idea.
Right, because this is a work podcast, sure. Obviously.
Yeah.
We're producing content for both of our work entities. This is all part of the show. You know, you take us out on the Blazers' dime because this is the Blazers' podcast. I think there's some merit there.
I think there is something
to that,
Joe.
I
am always very careful with my expense accounts.
Yes, you are.
I try not to put any kind of charges that could be even half considered unauthorized, but I think that makes a little bit of sense. Yeah. So,
especially if you clear it ahead of time.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Then you're covered on all areas, and then we all go out for a nice meal.
Oh, I get to go too?
Oh, yeah.
Me going would definitely be the issue. I think I can maybe pay for you and Alana to go. If I go, though, then it's a different set of issues. You know this, Joe. You're making the face, but you know how it is. So,
I think you
our
have
PR
to
staff,
there.
Like, oh, no, that's right, because they can do it at home, but they can't do it on the road.
Yeah, no, you have to be. Yeah, you have to be there. You can be there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Yeah, so pitch this.
Yeah, well, I'll get with the VPs and see what they say.
Now, meanwhile, I want to hear all you guys send me in your suggestions on where we should go. I want an extensive list of restaurants that the three of us can dine at, because, we got to go ham on this.
And since I mentioned this to you yesterday, I will mention now, because I actually was thinking about this a little bit. So I went to the bank the other day, and I deducted money to put into another account at my local Fred Meyer. They gave me a considerable amount more money than they meant to.
I've already heard this story. I'm going to add a detail here. It is $300.
$300 more than what they were supposed to count out to me. I saw him when he counted the first time. I noticed it. I didn't say anything at the counter. I just took the money. I started to walk to my car, checked it again to make sure that I was right, that he really had overcounted by $300. He had. And at that point, I stopped for a second. I was like, I should probably give this money back. And so what I was just thinking now, I did give the money back, not because I could give two rats whatevers for any kind of bank, but I didn't want this young man to potentially get in trouble or lose his job. But if I had kept that $300, I would have got out in this Yusuf Nurkic bet.
There you go. I didn't even think about that.
I could have paid it off with that. And a $300 dinner is that's a solid dinner.
That'd
so
be good.
So what I'm trying to get to here, Joe, is only through if you want to take advantage of my kindness by making me pay for your meal when I could have just taken that money and put it towards your dinner date. Then that's fine, but I just don't know what that says about you. That's all.
This really turned around full circle in a direction I was wholly unexpected.
But, and more than anything, I just wanted people to know how good of a person I am.
Well, see, now that's what I thought we were getting at.
Well, and it is, and now I'm blowing it. But I wanted to tie it in somehow, but I really just wanted to point out how phenomenal and kind of a person I am, even though 95% of the things I do are awful.
Well, to give you some insight into how kind and personable I am, I was like, man, that's almost a PS4 for me, right?
My
there.
Wife was like, when I told my wife, I thought for sure she'd be like, oh, that's really nice. She was like, what are you doing? That's stupid. I was like, okay, yeah, you're right. And there was actually a fellow who was at the who was also at the counter, and they were talking about it because, you know, obviously I was like, hey man, I
was it to do? Yeah,
and he, the guy, he was like leaning against the counter, like kind of a cool looking guy, and he was like, yeah, that's nice of you, Casey. And I could tell, like, in his head, he was like, you're a moron.
You're an idiot.
Like, what are you doing, idiot? Yeah. If that's me, I'm taking that money. And,
so,
and I felt a little sheepish about it, too. I was like, am I being a sucker right now? And I think I might have been.
I think, well, first of all, it's incredibly noble of you to do that. I will first say that, first and foremost. I don't know that I'd be able to do that. I would like to think that I would. But in that moment, I don't know that the guy gets in trouble. I think that there are banking errors throughout the day.
I've been debating that with myself for the past 2 days, whether or not $300 is really enough to get someone in trouble. I mean, but my other part too is like this is a bank at a grocery store.
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah,
I don't know. Again, you're gonna get like a demerit or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do places do stuff like that?
Absolute worst case scenario is you've got some good karma coming your way. So I mean, good for you. Good for the Blazers. We got anything good on the Blazers? What do we got going on here?
As you mentioned, Joe, it's been a...
I was talking about this recently. Like, this is one of the most boring weeks, certainly of this season, but in, like, recent memory. Like, the combination of where we're at in the season and, like, the caliber of teams and just the nature of how this season has unfolded with so much travel and so much back and forth, and we're finally positioned at home for a couple of weeks, and then we get the Knicks and the Bulls and the Hornets.
Yeah,
over a week's time.
Which is, and it just speaks to the way that, I mean, and granted, they don't make the schedule based off of what they're expecting win-loss records to be of teams, but I think it does kind of speak to how the schedule this year is really like, it's all runs, you know? It's like they played a lot of Eastern Conference teams to start the regular season, and then they didn't play any of them basically for a month. And, you know, they play a whole lot of really good teams. I think all teams that are either in the playoffs or in the playoff hunts in the West. And then they play three straight games against non-playoff teams in the East. And they have a stretch where they, I think in December, we played on the road for three quarters of the games. Then they have the stretch in January where I think they only have four or five road games. They're all spaced out. They've got that stretch at the end of January, beginning of February, where they play once in 9 days. Like, it's just...
It's weird.
Everything is to, like, the nth degree. It's like, oh, you're going to play some Eastern Conference teams? Here's four straight Eastern Conference teams. Or you're going to be on the road? Here's a two-week-long road trip.
Two and a half.
Exactly.
17
days. So it's like
days.
Everything... It's like, oh, you want this? We're going to give it to you even harder. So it's a... It's kind of weird.
I've got a question for you. It's loosely Blazers related. So my passport is expired.
I have the same issue, Joe.
And I need to renew it before we have to go to Toronto here soon. And somebody brought up the government shutdown. It may have been you.
It was me.
And I'm like, holy crap, I didn't even think about that. Like, can you renew a passport right now? Like, are the passport offices open? Because I will probably need to have my passport expedited. Speaking of expenses, I wonder if I can expense that. And so I'm like, what do I do here? I genuinely don't know. One of us is going to have to do some research to find out, are they open? Can we have it expedited? What's going on with that?
Yeah, I don't know about that, Joe. I think you might be SOL.
Man.
My issue is that I didn't realize that you had to turn in your passport before you could even get a new one. I thought that you could go through the process of getting a passport renewal, and while still holding on to your current passport, they send you your new passport and your old passport becomes a valid, or you have to turn in something like that. It's not, that's not the way it works. You have to send in your old passport, or if you do it in person, you have to give them your old passport. And then for that period of time, you were without a passport, and so you get your new one. And so for me, it's like I'm good and for the trip to Toronto, I think, as long as you don't have – I don't think Canada does a thing where you can't go in if your passport expires within 6 months. Which it is, that is, like, if you're going to Europe and your passport expires within 6 months, it's,
oh,
it's,
I think,
already
you're
expired.
Fine. Yeah, you're fine.
I think Canada's okay with that.
Yeah, you're fine.
But it, we, I want to – we're planning on doing some travel after the season, and I
– You got to get it ready.
Exactly. And so the switch out is – Yeah, so, well, basically the government shutdown is hitting the NBA as well.
The I know the nearest, like, where you can just go to the office and get it that day is in Seattle. So, yeah. I mean, worst case scenario,
yeah,
I
you
guess.
Yeah, you can do expedite, Seattle, but it's, yeah.
So, anyway, back to this boring week. I will say...
hot passport talk here, yeah, on the Rip City Report.
I can't take anything of substance at all away from this week and the slate of games and the way the Blazers are playing right now. They had some really tough games, and they beat some good teams, which I give them kudos for. But I don't think they've looked very good or inspired over the last couple of games against these bad teams. But I will say that the old taking care of business, they're taking care of the patsies. So from that standpoint, they're doing well. I give them, I guess, props for that. I also will say that they have 17 victories at home,
yeah,
which is tied for the most in the Western Conference. So I know from their standpoint, that's a good indication of where they're at as a team. But, you know, I just can't look at what's going on right now and think much of anything from it.
Yeah, I'm trying to be optimistic about the way they've played this week in terms of the kind of TCB. But, you know, I would really like to see them come out and just beat these teams, you know, and the way they've played out, the game versus the Knicks and the game versus the Bulls, is that the game is close for the first half. Third quarter, Blazers make somewhat of a push, and then fourth quarter pull away a little bit. But not, you know, I would just like to see them come out, play good basketball, and not blow the team out in the first quarter, but be obviously the better team in the first half, and then in the entire game. And right now, it just seems like they're only the better team in the second half. And while, again, I realize there's a bit of, you know, we're going through the motions a little bit here. We're at the midway point of the season. I get that. But if you want to be a good team, like, I think at some point you got to show it against some of the bad teams, just like you've shown it from time to time for some of the good teams. And I think that's been a criticism of this team. I think we talked about it last week that, you know, there's a notion, and I think there's – I don't necessarily agree with it, but I think there is something to it that the Blazers aren't beating the good teams they need to beat. And, you know, again, I think you could quibble with that somewhat, but it's valid enough. I would like to see them do it against the bad teams. I would like to see them go out and just play really quality, solid basketball and beat teams handily. And, you know, they haven't really done that this week. They've done enough. They've gotten the wins. They've all been by double digits. The last two have been by double digits. But, again, just not all that convincing against teams that are only sort of kind of trying to win games right now anyways.
Yeah, they kind of putter around in the first half.
Exactly. And that's – I would just like to see I would like to see them, like, the game versus the Bulls. I think they had 9 turnovers in the first half. None of them were particularly aggressive, good turnovers. I would just like to see, like, a really crisp, sharp game where they go out and just take it to a team and call it a day. We haven't really seen a whole lot of
it's
that.
Weird.
And that's what I would like to see in this stretch versus these teams.
It's almost like it's not in their DNA.
Exactly. And I think there is something to be said about that because they haven't really done that the past few seasons. They're just not that team that goes in and just... It seems like it takes a half of basketball for them to be like, hey, guys, this is just a little too close for comfort.
So this is a couple games old. This is from January 4th, but they haven't played any good teams since then, so this still holds because I've got some old game notes. Well, and this was against the Rockets, so I can add to this. Against teams with 500 or better records, the Blazers are 15-10. And so, let's see, this was, since then they've played 3 games, is that correct? Against the losing
yes.
teams? Or 2 games?
Houston, well, they,
2 games.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
two
the
games
Knicks and the,
yeah.
So now they are 9-7 against teams with 500 or less records.
Hmm.
So it's 500 or sub-500 records.
So which is kind of weird, though, too, because if you play a team in the 5th game of the season and then they have a losing record now, is it when they played them?
Yeah. First, if opponent has a winning or losing record to date. So currently.
Currently, okay.
So against teams with 500 or better records, the Blazers are 15-10. Against teams with 500 or worse records, they are 9-7.
So technically, percentage-wise, they're better against the
good teams
that are above 500.
According to this.
And that's a, I mean, that's a bummer, though. You know, like, 9-7, like, that should be, like, 12
I almost don't believe
four.
That. Yeah, I almost want to double-check that. But that's what's in the game notes, man.
I trust those game notes, Joe.
Yeah. As long
so,
as
I mean, so for me, that's really where I'm at right now. And I think it's times like this where I would hope that they could kind of tighten some things up, and it just really hasn't seemed to be the case.
I mean, just a quick look. Are the Miami's got a sub-500 record, right? And are the Lakers above 500? Yeah, they're above 500.
Yeah.
So they lost to Washington. That's one. They lost to Minnesota. Did they lose to Minnesota? No.
Yes, they did lose to Minnesota at Minnesota.
So that's two. Lost to Miami. That's three. Let's see. Kind of going quickly here. The Clippers.
Well, and the Heat are 19-20.
Yeah. Well, so, you know. Yeah, still losing record.
Yeah, no, it's a loss.
Memphis, are they 500 still? The ones that I quibble with are Utah, because that's not going to end up being there.
Yeah.
Utah's going to end up being above 500. But anyway, numbers are numbers. You got to take the statistics as they come and where they're at in the thing. But it does speak to the larger point of what you're trying to make, and that, hey, they're kind of mailing it in during these games.
And again, they're not a good enough team to be a mail it in team. They're not.
So we've got some questions about Mo Harkless. Someone wants to know what really is going on with Mo's knee, and I can't recall.
I
yeah, and that's the thing is we don't know. And part of me doesn't think that Mo knows. I think it's quite clear that he came back too soon from when he had his initial surgery last March. I think he probably has pushed it too much all season long. You wonder if he had just taken the playoffs off, taken the summer off, done a normal rehabilitation, how that would have changed things. One would have to assume that the organization and Mo has done the proper due diligence, medically-wise, at least testing-wise, to make sure that his knee is structurally sound. And I know in the past, before the recent issues have surfaced, that they said they had done all the necessary testing and that everything was structurally fine. So take them at their word on that. You know, from my perspective, I think you just kind of let him rest it for a while and until it gets right, if it gets right, and kind of go there. I don't think the herky jerky nature of it's good one day and bad one day and good one week and bad one week is really to his benefit. And now that all that said, I will say, speaking to him, you know, what was it, 2-3 weeks ago, and he was like, I'm starting to feel like myself again. Knee feels great, hasn't felt better all year. He was playing great, he looked comfortable, he looked healthy. And then, you know, shortly thereafter, he's back on the.
Well, it was so he hurt the left knee in the Rockets game, is that correct?
Last year?
No,
this year?
This year.
No, 2 games ago, so the Knicks, he missed the second half.
Okay.
Is that what you mean? He didn't play in the second half?
Well, I don't remember when he...
He was listed as probable. He appeared on the injury report ahead of the Knicks game as probable. Played the first half, only played like 9 minutes, didn't play the second half, then did not play the last game against the Bulls.
Okay. Well, long story short, like, I thought that Mo, particularly on the defensive end, was looking phenomenal. I stayed home rather than I didn't go to Sacramento for that Kings game, and watching it there, like, he was taking the ball from guys, weak side blocks. Like, I thought Mo was looking really, really sharp. Like, for me it was like, wow, okay, Mo is really feeling good. He's kind of figuring out where he fits in. He looks like he's healthy, and man, like, he's really making a difference on the defensive end. And, you know, now he's back on the shelf. And yeah, I mean, to your point, Joe, I don't know what they're going to do from this point, but there's basically only, I mean, not basically putting him on the shelf for a month or 2 months is, I mean, that's, I don't know what other options they have at this point, or what they haven't tried yet that they could try now. And granted, I think Mo wants to play. I think team needs Mo. So the idea where it's like, in 2 weeks from now, if Mo feels good to say, well, you're not going to play because we decided that you're going to sit X number of games, I don't know that he would want that, but again, too, it's like something needs to get figured out. And, you know, neither one of us are even close to medical professionals, but it just seems like at a certain point, like, you gotta try something different.
The only other notable kind of quote unquote development that's occurred in recent games is the the benching of Nick Stauskas and the return to the rotation of Jake Lehman. Lehman played in his fourth consecutive game. Did he start?
Started last night, right?
Yeah, and he had been in the rotation the previous three games, essentially replacing Nick Stauskas, who had been both struggling and I guess that was just it. There hadn't been two things.
No, that's it.
And had been in a kind of a – his minutes had been reduced in recent games also. So I didn't necessarily see that coming. I guess I did see – I noticed that his playing time had been reduced, but I didn't foresee Jake reentering the rotation. But kind of talking to Stotts about this, I think it was two games ago, just about, you know, going back to the preseason when we asked him about his rotation and how he kind of wanted to enter the season a bit more flexible than he had been in the past, where, you know, it might vary at least early on game to game or week to week, and more guys would get more chances early. And he said, in a sense, this is where they're at with that position and those two guys. But he did add the caveat of, he's like, and I don't like to do that. He said, I like my guys to know, to have the expectation of whether or not they're going to play. And he said, I think they want to know that too. That said, Jake had no idea he was going to play three games ago, too. So yeah, I don't know where the rub is.
One thing about that. Guys don't want to know that they're not going to play. You know, guys want to know they are going to play. Yeah. They don't want to go into a game and be like, I know I have no chance of getting in tonight.
Right.
That is the exact opposite of what guys want. Real quick, too. I mean, at a certain point, I agree. I wasn't necessarily expecting for Jake to take Nick's minutes, but in the month of December, Nick Stauskas shot 24% from three. And at that point, if he's not hitting his threes, Jake is a better defender. I don't think either are setting the world on fire, but Jake fits better in that lineup because he's a bigger body. He can defend multiple positions, whereas Nick is more of a straight kind of guard. Jake more athletic, and Jake has shown that he can come in and give you something. And I think for Terry, he didn't go right away to Jake. I mean, he let Nick
try to
struggle
for
a while in December, and you know, basically Jake only really got a chance when Mo kind of started to have some issues with that knee again. So I think it's only fair for Jake to get that look, because, you know, when Seth Curry wasn't playing particularly well, Nick Stauskas was and got those minutes. And so, you know, it cuts the other way as well. If you're the guy who's not playing well, Seth Curry has already shown, I mean, he's in the rotation solid now because of his three-point shooting. You know, that's, you have to earn your keep. And if, you know, if you're not getting it done, there's a guy behind you that in theory can or has or should at least be given the opportunity to try. And that's where they're at right now with Jake and Nick. So I think, again, it's only fair.
For some reason, this is completely, I'm going in just a way other direction. It just occurred to me that I have some Adidas employee store passes that I need to cash in this week.
I mean, well, Jake is an Adidas athlete, so...
Well, what happened was I looked down at my shoes, and I was wearing Adidas, and it's like, you know what, I got that. I got another week of that. I should probably hit that up. Have you been recently?
I have not been since they moved over to Montgomery Park.
Oh, it's way better.
That's what I've heard.
Way better. Way better. I might have to make a trip out there soon. Not that I have any money to buy anything, but it's nice to look.
You know, January is...
Still reeling from Christmas,
Things are a little tight, and I'm really trying not to purchase so much stuff anymore.
That's good.
I'm trying my absolute best.
Yeah, I got my wife a new phone too, so that's like buying a car now. Like you got to commit to a plan, and like it used to be kind of cool when you got a new phone, and now it's just like a nuisance. Like,
do you have to pay a lot of money up front for a phone? I've had a team phone now for a while.
Yeah, well, so. Me too. Yeah, my work gives me a phone as well. They're expensive.
No, I know the phones themselves are expensive, but I like, so it's the point now where it's not just like you get the phone for free. Like you have, and I know they like it, they were.
No,
taking
no,
it
you
out
don't get
bill.
A phone for free anymore. They don't do that.
So you gotta like slap down a grand to.
You gotta well, or you so yeah. I mean, you either pay for the phone up front or you do $25 a month for 2 years or whatever
in perpetuity.
Yeah, basically, okay. It's like I said, it's like buying a car. So it's ridiculous. I'm sorry, I took us on a tangent there. Let's get to your Walton Herodons.
Yes,
how about that?
Let's get this focus back
let's
on the
steer
fan.
This ship. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's just reflective of what's going on with this team right now.
No. We talked about just before the show. We are in a bit of a lull right now in the season, and you know, rather than try to to manufacture storylines. We're just, you know, we're doing what we do.
We're going to give what you guys want, though, because you asked for Walton. These are your Walton and Rodens, and these are your questions, so we're going to get to those right now. As always,
I'm getting super focused for these, by the way, too.
Are
you? I want to answer, not so much answer correctly, because there isn't a correct answer, but I want to make sure that I'm picking...
Paying attention?
The correct Walton or Odin.
Oh, so like, right,
I want to try to get it through one whole segment without having to ask which one it is that I'm trying to answer.
Wasn't that on the bingo board?
It was, yeah. I was just thinking about that. So, yeah, I'm locked in right now.
Okay, first up from Tadzio, Walton or Odin, Yusuf Nurkic goes down as the GOAT Blazer big man. And for those listening at home, GOAT means the greatest of all time.
Goats are good animals, too. I'm going to Odin this. While there is not an incredible lineage of top quality centers in Trailblazers history, you do have Bill Walton, who is an all-timer. Kevin Duckworth, another second shout-out for Kevin Duckworth in this podcast, is at least a two-time All-Star and was a big piece of some...
Two-time All-Star?
I think so.
Huh. I had him as a one-time All-Star in my brain.
It might be one-time, but I feel like it was... I feel like there was maybe one other time. But
you could be right.
You're probably right. But I think Nurk is right there, and obviously Arvydas Sabonis, if history plays out differently and Arvydas comes over early, that's not even no one even gets close to that. But, you know, I think that if he's going to be important for the next 4 years, which he is under contract, I think Yusuf has an opportunity to be one of the best centers in Trailblazer history. But GOAT, I can't go there, at least not as of right now.
He was a two-time All-Star.
Bam.
Yeah, I think one was with the Blazers, and I think one was elsewhere. I think that's why I thought that. No, you're right. He was both with the Blazers. 88-89, 90-91.
Yeah.
Good for you.
So there you go. I mean, and, you know, there were some good centers in the league at that time, too. So it's...
I'm going to Odin this one as well. I didn't even think about Kevin Duckworth. I just thought about Bill Walton.
Yeah,
and I have a hard time seeing him.
You could knock
him.
Bill Walton in terms of health.
And
I mean, because
he
played what, 3.5 seasons in Portland. Yeah. So I mean that's the only thing. If he had played 8 seasons in Portland, it's not a debate.
And it's also, you know, that championship really weighs heavily.
And when I say it's not a debate, it's only barely a debate now. So
okay, next up from Joe Leeper, Walton or Odin, Nurkic. Oh, we got some Yusuf Nurkic love here.
Yeah.
Yusuf Nurkic will be an All-Star before CJ McCollum.
Hmm.
This one's tough because Nurkic has, well, they changed the rules for big men. So Nurkic doesn't have his own center category,
right,
which I think at some level hurts him.
Yes, it does.
But CJ plays at the deepest position in the league. And I have a hard time seeing him become an All-Star. So part of me kind of wants to Walton this, particularly if Nurkic continues his evolution the way he has. In many ways, statistic-wise, I think we see who CJ McCollum is. He's an older, more developed player, more experienced player. Yusuf Nurkic, I think, still has more developing to do. It's a tough one to me. I don't know. I'm going to say Walton.
Okay.
I'm going to go Walton.
I'm going to Odin this one because of this. This is the way the logic works plays out for me. I don't think either one of them is ever going to be an All-Star.
Mm-hmm.
And so to say that Nurkic is going to be an All-Star before CJ would be, in my opinion, false, because I don't believe that either are ever going to be an All-Star. Not because I don't think either guy is somewhat deserving.
Let me ask you this. Which one do you think, although you don't think either will, is the more likely of the two to get an All-Star berth?
I do think at this point it's Yusuf Nurkic because, as you mentioned, being a guard in particularly the Western Conference, like, you have to be...
Nails.
I mean, you have to be basically an All-NBA caliber player to even get consideration. So
Damian Lillard's a first-team All-NBA player, and he's sixth in fan voting.
I mean, I do think this is the year that Damian is going to get in fairly easily.
No question. I was thinking about this yesterday.
Yeah,
there's no debate.
I don't think there's a whole lot of debate about it this year, which, you know, kudos to you, Damian. But as far as CJ goes, I mean, that you go down the list of those guards, and it's like,
so
how do you jump those guys?
If that's the case, I would assume that you would have Walton this. But you're saying because you don't think either will.
I don't think either, yeah.
Okay.
So for me to Walton that, I would have to be saying I think there's even a possibility that Yusuf is going to get into it. And having worked in the NBA now for over a decade and kind of seen how things play out, particularly for a team like the Portland Trailblazers,
I just can't have that kind of faith.
Okay, next up. So I don't know what happened. I don't know what's in the water. Maybe Portland started pumping fluoride in there all of a sudden. I don't know if it's because we flipped to 2019.
It's probably more likely lead.
I don't. Well, sure, lead. Why not? It could be. I'm sure there's traces of lead in our water. It could be because the Blazers are playing well. It could be because it's nearing, but. We received more Walton or Odins and questions about the trade deadline and or trading than at any point in recent memory, certainly this season. So what I've done is I've bunched 5 Walton or Odins together that are loosely and or related to the trade deadline. I'm going to read them successively. I don't know how we're going to handle this, but here goes.
All right.
First up. From Jared Muchow, Walton or Odin, the trade deadline will be uneventful for the Blazers. Chris Klonoski, Walton or Odin, the Blazers make a trade before the deadline. Zero, Walton or Odin, will Neil Olshey get involved in any trade deals or make a move by the deadline? I don't know how you Walton or Odin that one. That's an or.
And I was going to mention that too when I was saying I want to be focused. Is that sometimes you guys don't do a great job of actually? It's more of a question, less of Walton or Odin. But I mean, you're phenomenal. We love all your submissions.
Next up, Bruce Caesar Bennett, Walton or Odin. The Blazers will trade Mo to make room for Jake. And okay. From Jake, Walton or Odin, Blazers make a meaningful deadline trade. I guess what we could do with this, Casey, is. Instead of Walton or Odin-ing this, we could just talk about the deadline.
Okay.
I
do not think the Blazers are going to be that active at the deadline. I think they're going to try, as I think they always do. But again, I think recent history leads me to believe that the likelihood of pulling off some kind of even medium-sized trade, I think, is fairly unlikely. There's not a ton of flexibility in the league right now, which I think hinders the ability for all teams to make moves. Blazers can't take salary for the most part, so whatever goes in has to come out.
Now, last year they traded Noah Vonleh for a bag of cash, right?
Right. Well, for a contract that they then stretched.
Right. So in that scenario, it was pretty inactive, but they did something.
Yes, and I would put that below even a medium. Any move that is for a player who is currently in the rotation, I mean, obviously it's a possibility. I just don't really see it. And again, I don't think it will be from a lack of trying, but I don't know that there's really a deal out there for the Blazers.
Well, I will touch quickly on the notion that they're going to trade Mo to make room for Jake. No.
Yeah, no.
First of all, I love Jake. He's a great human being. I think Mo's a better basketball player than him, and I specifically, or especially at this point in their careers. So I don't see how you're trading a better guy to make room for somebody else. And B, I don't know how, as a willing trade partner, I don't know how another team would be like, yeah, I want this dude that can't even stay on the court because his knee's hurting right now, and all that is ambiguous and unclear right now where that's headed. I don't know how he is a trade chip. So I don't see how that even factors into anything. So I'll answer that aspect there. And I do think Neil Olshey will aggressively pursue a trade.
Yeah.
I don't know who's available. I don't know what teams are going to be looking for. And so, and we're also basically a month away. So there's still a lot of basketball to be played. There could be teams that are looking to dump salary, you know, around the deadline that the Blazers can get involved with, or are looking for prospects, or who knows. So, you know, from that standpoint, I think it's a little too early to say, but I do think the Blazers will be very aggressive in pursuing something at the deadline because, and I think it's become very clear to Neil, and I think he's said this publicly multiple times, that, you know, it's tough for him to lure free agents here. So he has to use these vehicles like the draft, either trading or drafting, and the trade deadline and the, you know, just trade season to bring guys here. And to bring talent here, so I do expect him to be very active.
Yeah, I mean, there's some names out there that have been floated around as well, good players. I mean, it would if the Blazers were able to pull it off, it would signal that they are really going into the tax. Which I mean, I think that's what people kind of want at this point. I think they want to see the team make some moves, even if it costs a whole lot of money. And I think, you know, that's a very reasonable take. I think
the one thing with that though is, sorry to cut you off,
no,
but
please do.
Involved in all this is a bit of an unknown in that the ownership, we know, you know, obviously that Paul Allen's sister is in charge and Burt Cold is in charge of things. And Neil Olshey has said that he, you know, he has the freedom to do what he wants to do. But we don't really know what the standard operating procedure is there and whether or not that they could just do whatever they want. So that's going to be a curious aspect. And I think at some level that hangs over all this as well. Something to consider anyway. Should we carry on?
Yeah.
All right. Next up from Joe Leeper. Off topic, but Walton Road and Oregon Ducks finish ahead of Freeman's FSU Seminoles in the polls for at least the next 3 years.
3 years is a long time. Finish ahead of the polls?
I'm going to Odin that.
Yeah, I'm going to Odin it as well.
I'm not even going to give it a deep explanation.
I hope that fellow that is suing both the school and Mr. Taggart for $11 million for whatever workouts they put him through, I hope he gets every penny.
Is it $11 million he's seeking?
I believe so.
Wow, he's really going for gold there. Next
up. I think the guy did almost die, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not a judge or court official, so I guess I can say whatever I want.
Say whatever you want.
But yeah, no, get your money by a guy. Especially guys who are playing, who are not getting paid, you're getting an education, that's super. But if you come away from that with debilitating injuries for the rest of your life, give that man his money.
Next up from Jeff, Walton or Odin, Kevin Love will play for the Trailblazers before he retires. Last I heard, Kevin Love had no desire to play in Portland.
He can't
control who trades for him.
No.
But he had no desire to be here.
I'm guessing that Kevin Love never sat down and desired to be in Cleveland either. So.
True. Yeah, I'm sure it was a lot better when he was competing for championships.
Yeah. Well, he's not even playing now. That injury he's had has been problematic. So I'm going to own that.
I agree. I was going to own that as well. Next up from DeBrain, Walton Roden, male body spray.
If you're talking about cologne, Walton. If you're talking about
Axe
body sprays or any other body sprays, hard Odin.
If you're... I was going to more or less do that, and you beat me to it. So, those are Odins for me. I'm not big on the smells like that.
There's a comedian in Cards with Coffee, the Jerry Seinfeld show on Netflix with Alec Baldwin, and Alec Baldwin talks
The newest one?
The newest one, yeah.
How he changes cologne
in the seasons. Do you change cologne in the seasons, Joe?
I don't wear cologne.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't wear cologne. I'm not really down with the smells. I use a Old Spice. I'm big on the Old Spice deodorant. Mm. And it has a perfumey-esque smell.
Yeah, I feel like Old Spice deodorant, Joe, is just a half tick away from Axe body spray.
No.
Why? How is it different?
It's a deodorant you wear that prevents you from sweating,
but has the smell of Old Spice though, right?
Loosely, it's not. Okay. It's not like you're spraying Old Spice.
I guess I'm not.
I've used it since college. It's good. I used to be a right guard man way back in the day, and I don't know. You settle into these things at an early age, and you kind of just stick it out. You know,
I'm a degree guy.
Degree guy. Mm-hmm. Huh, we never would have guessed. But body sprays, colognes, it's not my thing anymore. Maybe back in my young man days, but I'm an old man now, Casey.
I feel like wearing cologne is a real old man thing.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do not change colognes, but I always wear it.
My wife's never complained about the way I smell, so until I get some weird faces, I'm going to stick with what's working.
Well, and now with two kids in the house, like I think the
smell ain't coming from me.
there's other complaints to go to first.
From Boom Boom Bayless, Walton Road, Nevin Turner's Photoshop skills. I'm going to Walton this just for fun. I don't think that it actually was Photoshopped, but it sure as hell looks Photoshopped.
What we're talking about right now, the cover of the Rip City magazine from a few games back, there's Evan Turner's on the cover flexing, and there's two things about it that look kind of weird.
All of it looks weird.
One, I mean, like, his arms are just, I mean, they're absolute tree trunks. Like, I mean,
he looks like a bodybuilder.
He does. He absolutely looks like a bodybuilder. And the part that throws off for me though is the way that light is hitting one of his wrists. Like so one hand is a little bit ahead of the front of the other, so it creates a difference in perspective, and it makes it look like that one wrist is like really small, almost like abnormally small, which gives you the impression that like perhaps it was pumped up. But no, that's as Bruce Ely posted the original on his Twitter account. But to get back to the question, I bet. Of the guys on the team that could do some photo editing. I would put Evan up towards the top of that.
So that's a Walton for me.
Yeah, I'll Walton that as well.
Next up from Nathan Wagner, Walton or Odin, the Blazers will make the playoffs as a fifth seed or better.
An interesting question. I think we saw last season that having a higher seed is not necessarily the best. Well, not the best thing. It's not.
It's all about matchups.
It's matchups, yeah.
You'd rather be at home, though.
Yeah, you absolutely would. I will.
Just really quickly, seeds right now as they unfold here at the midway point of the season, by the way. Probably should have mentioned that, but I think everybody knows. Yeah. First seed in the West is your Denver Nuggets, second Golden State Warriors, followed by the Oklahoma City Thunder, the LA Clippers, then your Portland Trailblazers, then the Houston Rockets, then the surging San Antonio Spurs, and then the Los Angeles Lakers, and then the just waiting for them to make their big move Utah Jazz, followed by the Sacramento Kings. Those are the top 10 seeds in the West.
I'm going
to
own that because I think they end up sixth.
Yeah, I think it's more likely for them to be 6-8 than 5-1.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna own that as well.
But again, this year especially, if you can duck the Warriors, you got a shot at winning a first round series. I mean, if things started today, I mean, granted, I think the Nuggets are playing really well, the Thunder are playing really well, the Clippers have played really well, the Rockets are playing really well right now, and the Spurs are playing really well right now. I would still like Portland's chances in any one of those series. I'm not saying they would necessarily win, but you'd feel good going into it. You're going up against the Warriors again, and you feel like trash.
It's January 10, so I'm not willing to start debating all that because deadline, injuries, all that stuff. But I think we can say, hey, are they going to be finished top five or bottom three? I'm going to go bottom three.
Okay.
So that's where I'm at with that. I do think Denver is not a good matchup for them. They would struggle to win in Denver, and so they would have home court advantage. So I think there's a lot against them there.
No, well, I agree. I think the Denver is a better team than the Blazers, but you get them in a series.
Anything could happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They haven't been there in a while.
No.
Next up from I Can't W Elfie is a crown and a W and a penguin and LFI. Crown W,
there's not like
penguin.
A secondary name?
You know, I copied and pasted this. It's a crown emoji, a W, a penguin emoji, and an LFIE. So
King
hopefully
penguin
I just...
Penguin
Life?
King Penguin Life, yeah.
King W Penguin Life? LFI? LFIE? Hopefully it's not something that I don't know about because I'm so old and I'm saying... Yeah.
Alt-right meme that Joe is getting involved in right now.
Next up from this individual, and thanks for listening, I'm not trying to be mean, I stumbled into your name and I have no idea what it is. So.
Well, and that's obviously not that person's name, so
true.
They can't take offense to that.
Oh, of course. Walter Owen, if Nurkic keeps up his level of play from the last handful of games for the rest of the season, he will finish top three in most improved player voting.
I don't know exactly who's in the running for most improved player for this season, but if Nurkic plays at this level for half of a season, yes, he would be up for award consideration.
This is
I think,
rest
for
of the season, yeah.
Well, exactly. If Yusuf played half of a season, averaging whatever he's averaging, 20, 10, 4, 2, and 1, like, yeah, that's... I mean, he might even, at that point in time, he would be in consideration for maybe All-NBA, at least one of the teams. So
you're
yes,
Waltoning
I,
that?
I will Walton that.
Yeah, I also have no idea who is in consideration for most improved player voting because it's so early. But if he plays like this the rest of the season, yes, I will Walton that. He's playing incredible right now. It's pretty incredible the impact and how the Blazers can play with him playing as he is playing. So I'll Walton that. Last Walton the Roden from Steve Hoyt McBeth. Truer words have been spoken. Bonzi Wells, what a handle. It's amazing what he can do for the sport.
It's amazing what he do for the sport.
Now, he's saying truer words have been spoken, but the phrase is truer words have never been spoken.
Yeah.
So is he purposely changing
that? No, I think he just missed it. It's a typo, Joe. Cut him a break.
Oh, I was literally trying to discern the meaning of his thing so I can accurately Walton Roden this. We got people keeping track now.
I will Walton it. Have been no truer words spoken than Bonzi Wells, what a handle. It's amazing what he do for the sport. For those of you who listen all the way through the podcast to the very end, you know that that is one of the last lines of the Beatnut song, No One's Ready to Deal With Us, that we use here on the Rip City Report, which at some point in time we're probably going to have to retire.
I guess. What are we going to change it to?
Well, I don't know. Maybe we get something original. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Submit your original.
I mean, it's a great song, and it works really well for the show. I love it.
But so you're saying that, yes, he does have a great handle, and it is amazing what he did for the sport.
Yes, that is a hard Walton. Then it is amazing what Bondi Wells handle do for the sport.
I'm going to hard Odin that, because it's amazing in some level, but not in a good way. And then I think that's it for Walton or Odin's.
It is it for Walton or Odin's, but it is not it for Ad Reads, because I need to tell you about our friends at Tough Luck. You can watch every Blazer game at Tough Luck. They have the package. They all play there. You're going to want to check it out. From tip-off to the final whistle, you can get the not-so-new but still delicious Rip City Red Hot Sandwich, which is a spicy fried chicken sandwich served cold, and any micro beer or micro brew. You cannot get Wild Turkey. I was told you cannot get Well Whiskey with your Rip City Red Hot Sandwich deal, so my apologies for that. But you can get a micro brew or micro beer with your sandwich for just $10. And, of course, if you're a vegetarian, they would make their house-made veggie burger. The folks, all of their bars have great vegetarian food, actually. And I can personally attest to the deliciousness of the house-made veggie burger, even though, you know, it's second to the actual Rip City Red Hot fried chicken sandwich itself. But it's still a pretty good sandwich. So, once again, every Blazer game, $10. Rip City Red Hot sandwich, either chicken or homemade veggie burger, and a microbrew / micro beer for just $10.
Here we are, an hour in, and we still got to get to all the questions. So let's do this, Casey. Let's go. First up, from Deloitte's, what's your go-to coffee drink and your go-to coffee spot?
You should answer this first. I am not at all a coffee philistine. It's one of those things that I drink coffee purely for the utility of it. So my regular drink is at Starbucks. I get a venti mocha with non-fat milk and no whipped cream and an extra shot. That's typically what I get. Particularly on the road. When I'm at home, I just drink the coffee we have at home.
I also make my coffees at home. We have an espresso machine, and so I can do all that. But I have a very simple, it's a ridiculous drink. I drink a vanilla latte every day. Simple as that.
Oh, okay. I do have a sweet tooth as well. And I put cream and sugar in my coffee. Again, I'm not some kind of coffee purist. How is this going to be the most palatable so I can get it down?
If I'm like the wolf in Pulp Fiction, lots of cream, lots of sugar.
Yeah.
I mean, the older I get, the more I back off that a little bit. But yeah, that said, my favorite coffee place currently, and I've mentioned this before actually, it's called St. Simon Coffee. A couple of brothers own it. They're local guys from, I believe, Scappoose. Is where they're from. I remember speaking to them once about it. Big Blazers fans. They have a great little coffee shop on Northeast Broadway at about 20th. Excellent coffee. They use what is currently my favorite coffee bean. It's a local roaster all of you have certainly heard of called Kova. A little spendy on the beans, but really, really good beans.
I saw quite a bit of Kova hate, by the way, when the Blazer story came out. Yeah.
Huh.
Both Kova and Water Ave. Well, no, people were claiming that it's not good. I mean,
That's absurd. That's nonsense.
I have no standing whatsoever in this conversation because I will drink anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I was surprised because I saw some people talking a little garbage about it.
And one thing that I like to say about St. Simon, again, two local brothers who own it, I believe they're contemplating opening up another place too, but make really good drinks. They are really good dudes and really friendly. And you walk in the place, and even if they're not working and some of their other baristas are working, they're always very friendly. And we are living in this era in Portland where people feel the need to be rude and a-holes to you when you're going to give them money. I appreciate going somewhere where someone is nice, much like Tough Luck, for example. Everybody there is super nice.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, that's one thing I like. Not only is it delicious coffee, good beans, but good people that work there. So it is currently my favorite place to go. I also, and it's neighborhoody for me. I live in Northeast, so that works out for me. I also will occasionally hit Barista and or Case Study on Alberta. And, God, what is the other place on Alberta? The longtime coffee shop on Alberta. I can't believe
Muddy's?
What's that?
Muddy's?
No, that was on Mississippi, and they closed a long time ago. Cafe Vita. They're a Seattle thing, and they also have a great place in Astoria if you're looking for cafe there. No, is it Cafe Vita? No, that's not it. It's not Cafe Vita. I remember.
Well, Joe's trying to figure this out. I will mention, I don't really go out to coffee a lot often, but there is a place in my neighborhood called Prince Coffee on Willis. They also have another one. It's a little twee for me, a little stark white Instagram-ness for me, but they're nice people that work there. My wife has a mug from there, so, and it's a local place in my neighborhood, so I should give them a little.
Yeah, it is Cafe Vita, and they literally roast their beans back in the thing in the open cafe, so you know that they're making that stuff right there. So
my complaint about North Portland, though, is that it's getting better now, but there have not been many good coffee shops. There's a coffee shop that a lot of people go to in my neighborhood that I personally do not like because it is, no offense, but it is, like, overrun with children. Like, they're just kids everywhere. You guys are great. Your parents are doing a nice job, but when Casey is just trying to get a cup of coffee, I don't want to have to wade through it.
There's a place out by UP, and hopefully this isn't the place. I guess it's a bit far for you. It's going the other direction, but it's out off of Willamette Boulevard that extends way past.
Yeah.
It's a good place out. I like that.
Oh, Cathedral maybe.
Yes.
I've never been there, but it looks nice.
It's a good place. Yeah. I've spent some time there.
I've spent a lot more time at the bar that's right next door. Right there. That's a good bar, by the way. I think it's called Byway or Right Way or.
All right. We should probably speed this up because we got a lot of questions and now we're over an hour. Yeah. Okay, next up from Rise F, which Western Conference team currently out of the playoffs do you see making it by the end of the season? This is an easy answer for me, the Utah Jazz.
Agreed.
Next up from Jeff, could Yusuf Nurkic ever surpass Sabonis? I say yes, and here's why. Sabonis only played 5 seasons? 6 seasons, maybe?
Something like that.
And it was at the end of his career? When, you know, he was much larger and much less athletic and much different player. If he had come over in his prime, he might have retired as the best Blazer ever. I mean, I think he would have just been incredible. And assuming that Yusuf stays here long term, the question says, could Yusuf Nurkic ever surpass? I'm going to say yes, he could.
I agree. I don't know if that was in a Walton Roden, was it?
That nope.
was his question. Yeah, no, I agree. And he played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 seasons, retired, came back and played one more season, so 7 total seasons.
Wow, more than I thought.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay, next up from Wow J Gel, with 42 games played, the Blazers have now passed the halfway point of the season. What have been the teams and what have been your personal highlights and lowlights thus far?
Highlight was probably the overtime win in Golden State. One, because while it wasn't a great game, it turned out to be a very interesting game, and I was calling that on the radio with Travis Demers, which is a lot of fun, particularly kind of late in the game. We did actually get a brief mention, our clip made it onto SportsCenter, I shouldn't say our clip, Travis's clip with me saying like 4 words at the very end made on the Sports Center, which I thought was kind of neat. So I will put that as my highlight. Low light, I would say the back-to-back losses to the Jazz, particularly the 30-point loss at home to the Jazz.
I don't know. This season has been the first half of this season has been as disinteresting and boring as I remember in recent memory for any season. And I don't know if it's because I've been doing this so long or if it's because it's the exact same cast of characters more or less that we've seen the last few years or if it's just how the season's been or a combination of all that. But I'm really still waiting for this season to get interesting for me. I will say the low light and the highlight was the same. It was opening night against the Lakers and the blank show that was LeBron James.
Yeah.
That was a total mess. The Blazers' loss at San Antonio was pretty bad. If you're looking from a standpoint of Blazers' highs and Blazers' lows, that was a low. Then they following up with a bad loss at Dallas.
Yeah, that whole trip was buns.
Yeah, and that Thanksgiving trip was pretty bad for them too, where they got steamrolled by the Bucks, and then they started losing by a million points after a million points.
Well, again, they got drilled by the Timberwolves, and maybe that entire trip was the low point because losing to the Lakers in LA for the first time in like 5 years was that definitely is probably my number two bummer.
But if you're looking from strictly team standpoint, win loss standpoint, the win at Golden State, despite the fact that it was a disgustingly gross game for most of it, that would be a highlight win for them. Beating James Harden when he was at peak form and the Rockets when they were the best team in the NBA or playing as the best team, that would be another highlight. You know, right now though, they winning 10 of 14 for them is they're arguably, result wise, playing their best basketball of the season. So I think we're kind of seeing the highlights right now. Let's move along. Next up from Luke, what's the deal with Wade Baldwin? He seemed to prove himself at the end of last season and through the summer league, but he hasn't been given any time.
That's tough for Wade. I mean, I can't say that he hasn't played well because he really hasn't got a chance to play at all, but I also, my assumption is that, that Wade's shooting, particularly from distance, is not what it is for the guys who are ahead of him in the rotation right now, and I would imagine that's why he's not seeing any time.
Yeah, his it's the coaching staff has deemed that the guards, that the other guards they have on their team are better and off, giving them a better chance to win than Wade, plain and simple.
Yeah.
Wade's game is predicated on defense and kind of facilitating, mm-hmm. and certainly on the second unit, that's not what they're looking for at that position.
Yeah.
Next up from Madam Ocasio?
Ocasio.
What's
Long-time listener, reader.
Yes. Thank you, madam. What's been going on with CJ, and is it over now? Well, he's been in an extended shooting slump pretty much all season. He's shooting his lowest three-point shooting percentage of his career, and it's not over. There's been a couple good games, a couple signs of progress over the last week, week and a half, but he's got to string together a few in a row before it's over.
I agree, and I think he's... You know, it just feels like it's got to come more in the flow of the offense, too. It seems like... To me, when I'm watching CJ right now, I mean, he's always, you know, he's always ball dominant, but it seems like he's maybe a little too focused on getting himself going, though, which he should be because the Blazers need CJ McCollum to play well offensively to get anywhere. But I would like to see it again, and more just maybe come through the flow and less of kind of CJ breaking a guy down one-on-one.
And I will say this, CJ is not the most revealing person or the most revealing interview, but... Every time throughout this slump, we have stood at his locker and asked him about it, which has been several times. He stands there, he answers questions as best as he can, he doesn't make excuses, and he says, I just got to be better.
Yeah.
And I give him a lot of credit for A, standing there, and B, answering with, I mean, as much honesty as possible, and not making excuses. So, you know, for a guy who's been struggling most of the season, certainly with his shot, I think that there's something to be said for doing that.
Yeah, I mean, the want-to is there. There's nothing else.
No question about that.
He's I think he's pretty pissed off with himself.
Next up from Ben Grabowski, why did Petteri Kopanen never come back? Love the pod. Boy, I haven't heard that name in a long time.
One, I believe it's pronounced Petteri.
Excuse me.
And he ended up playing for a Italian team, Virtus Bologna, I believe. And, you know, for a guy who's... at best a borderline NBA guy to carve out a real nice career in Europe is probably the better way to go.
Two things on that. Who wouldn't want to live in Italy?
Yeah.
And B, he's not NBA caliber. It's plain and simple.
Yeah.
That's why he never came back. Next up from Francis Mack, Damian has been scoring less lately. Do you guys consider it a good sign or a bad one? The Blazers have won during these games, so I consider it a good sign.
Yeah, I think he had mentioned, you asked him, I think, after the Knicks game, Joe, if... I think it was you that was like, did you come into this game kind of wanting to defer a little more? He was like, well, you know, I don't really enter a game like with a mindset of I'm going to do this or that. But it does seem like he is looking to not shoot a whole lot, at least in the first halves of these games, versus teams that the Blazers should be able to win handily. And maybe kind of going back to what I was saying to start the podcast about me wanting to kind of see them maybe play a little bit better in the first half, maybe that's why, because Damian is really kind of being like, look, I'm going to let other guys do this and get theirs. He does seem to be focusing on assists a lot more than he has lately. He's had, I think, double-digit assists
nine and
in the
10?
Last two games. Or
is it 10? I thought it was 9 and 10. You're probably right.
Either way, basically his assist numbers, I would say, over the last 2 weeks have seemed anecdotally to have gone up. I'd have to check that. But, yes, it does seem like he is maybe looking to other guys to kind of get going, particularly in games where it feels like unless we really screw up, we should win this one.
Yeah, he's taken 4 shots in the first half in each of the last 2 games. Over the last 3 games, he's recorded 12, 9, and 10 assists. So... and the Blazers are 3-0, which is what I'd be focusing on. So I think he has the ability to kind of do whatever he wants to do on a court. He's reached that level. And so I don't think it's a bad sign at all. I still think if he wanted to score, he could. He's choosing to play differently. Next up from Blazer Tim, what's really going on with Mo's knee? This is starting to feel very embroil-like. We sort of answered that already. Slurred Wurz Pod wants to know, why not send Anfernee Simons to the G League? I have a theory about this. First of all, you can only send 2 guys at a time. And Caleb and Wade are there right now. I think Caleb wants to be there because he wants to play. I think the Blazers want Wade Baldwin to be there so he can play. And I think rookies, particularly 19-year-old rookies, in this case Gary Trent and Anfernee Simons, are better suited, particularly at this point in the seasons and their careers, to be in the NBA level and to be around the team. And so for those reasons, that's why I think these guys are here and those guys are down.
Yeah. And you send guys like Anfernee and Gary Trent to the G League. They're playing against 25, 30-year-old guys who are looking out for themselves, who are themselves trying to get back on NBA teams, and the idea that, you know, we're going to defer so that these guys can get some extra run, that's not really the way it works.
Also, like, just you can learn as much or more being around the team as a guy that young than playing in the G League. Like, getting a sense of travel, getting a sense of what games are like against hotly contested teams, getting a feel for the NBA schedule, being around the weightlifting, the conditioning, the strength and conditioning program, scouting reports, watching the games unfold from before to afterwards. So there's a lot to be gleaned just from being around the team than otherwise.
Because
these guys aren't going to play this year anyway, so, you know, why not be around the team? That said, they could go down to the G League at some point, but it doesn't make any sense right this minute.
Agreed. And the Blazers do, I think, run the G League as in, like, they basically let the players say, I want to go to the G League, and then they let them go. I don't think they typically tell players, you have to go to the G League.
Next up from Joe Boone, I miss Pat. Do you guys miss Pat? He's a good dude. I miss him.
Yeah, I like Pat a lot. He was good to have him around, and I still hear from Pat every now and then, you know, on the socials as well, so... You know, we're all connected these days.
Next up from Brett, how much do you think running the offense through Yusuf Nurkic helps our defense? Less long misses allows the defense to get set, etc.
I think that's I think there's something to that. I don't think that's probably the
impetus,
even the fourth or fifth most important thing about it. But it's a very good point in that, you know, if when Nurkic is kind of making the decisions, things don't happen as quickly. And, you know, if your concern is long rebounds off of missed three-pointers, which, you know, happens, but it's not like a huge issue, then, yeah, I could definitely see there being some benefits defensively from having Nurkic run the offense.
Next up from Scott Roberts is, playing with Myers-Leonard impeding Zach Collins' progress. I liked him playing the five last night with a smaller, quicker lineup as the first big off the bench. This has got to be the first time anybody's suggested that Myers is impeding another player's progress.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
I think Zach's gotten a lot of run and deserved amount of run. He started off the season as the first big off the bench. His play dictates his playing time, and his fouling dictates it a lot as well. I think that both of those guys are playing appropriate minutes.
I agree. Yeah. And I mean, I think, you know, the issues that Zach has encountered over the last month, I think, are Zach's. You know, like, I don't think they belong to anybody else.
We have a question about Olshay trading Mo Harkless because he's injury prone, and I think we sort of talked about that earlier. Next up from Nick Vole, Basketball Nick, talk about the foul baiting Lillard and what James Harden do behind the 3-point line, and how Basketball Gabe is an idiot for thinking they're different. So this came this came up at basketball the other night. Everybody was complaining about the foul that James Harden got when somebody pushed somebody into him, and he got three free throws, which was obviously ridiculous. And then it switched to, because, you know, I respect the hell out of Damian Lillard, and I love his game. If I was a fan, I would be a fan of his game. I hate how often he tries to get fouled on threes, or he tries to bait a guy for some foul and get three free throws. And I think it's very James Harden-esque. That's one reason that people can't stand James Harden, is he does crap like that all the time. Damian Lillard did this three times last night. I was counting. And so it devolved into this big conversation about, what do you mean Dame's like James? And he's not on that level. I was like, I don't think he's on that level. I'm just saying that he does that type of thing, and it drives me nuts because I think he's way too damn talented and too good to be doing that. Now, I get the idea that you reach a level, you deserve calls, you're smart enough a basketball player to know that you can draw this call and get three free throws. I appreciate that. It just, as someone who watches 82-plus games a year, it drives me nuts, as Casey can attest to hearing me scream out loud that it drives me nuts along the way. So, yes, Gabe, Basketball Gabe, you're obviously an idiot for thinking that.
No, Basketball Gabe is absolutely correct. Yes, Damian tries to draw fouls and, you know, kind of using suspect methods from time to time. It is
nowhere near the level or the quality that James Harden does. James Harden's much better at it than Damian is. Damian Lillard, I can't really recall Damian ever doing a rip through where he tries to draw that foul. James Harden damn near invented that move. They had to put in a rule because James Harden and Kevin Durant were getting inordinate amount of foul shots by basically swinging their arms into defenders' arms and getting shots.
Now, you hate that about James Harden, right?
I don't love it. Damian doesn't do that, really.
But you don't mind it when he tries to draw fouls the way he tries to draw fouls. Like with the three, just throwing it, trying to bump into the guy and lean.
I don't love that either. Okay. And the reason I don't love it is because supposedly the NBA said that if you're the one that's initiating the contact, we're not going to call that anymore. But they still do. So I understand why players do it. Damian doesn't drive and then throw his neck back like someone, you know, just took a sniper shot.
Definitely
at him,
a different style.
No,
yeah.
Exactly. And again, like I think there's varying degrees of it, and a lot of players do it, and Damian does it quite a bit. He does not do it anywhere near the level that James Harden does, nor is he as crafty / annoying about it. So Basketball Gabe is absolutely right.
No way.
It was Basketball Gabe, right? Not Neighbor Dan.
Basketball game.
Okay.
Yeah, basketball game.
I didn't want to get those two mixed up.
We could do a 30-minute podcast on just this subject alone. We have already done an hour and 20 minutes today, so I will stop right there. Thank you guys so much for listening, as always. We love you. We'll talk to you again next week. Take care. Bonzi Wells, what a handle. It's amazing what he do for the sport. Damon Stoudemire saves the day, a.k.a. Mighty Mouse. Gonna show all of you scrubs how to play. What a show. Why the Lakers even want it with us, you know? No one's ready to deal with us.